I'd like to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 10, and one of the things that I'd like to do this evening is to turn the tables, as we do every so often, and me ask you the questions. I've tried to explain to Trent and to Willie and now Ray and Dan that in order to teach the principles of right division, you have to get people thinking.
Amen.
If they're not engaged, all they are is receiving another creed like the last one, and they'll dispense of this one just as quick as another. All they're doing is reciting, and there's so many Christians that are like Polycarp.
Yeah.
My church says, my preacher says, you know, and they sit on the preacher's shoulder, and if the preacher says this, then they say this as well. Very little thought process going on, and my, we're to be intelligent Christians. We're to be filled with knowledge and wisdom, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 says. Now, in Acts chapter 10, you know where you are. You're way downstream in the apostolic ministry of Peter and the 11. Paul just got saved in Acts 9, but you know, Paul is going to be visited by the Lord Jesus Christ subsequently, and Paul's got a lot to learn at this point.
Amen.
While it's a fact that Paul begins dispensing new information as early as Acts 13, 38, and 39, and while it's a fact that he's saved in Acts chapter 9, and while it's a fact they're first called Christians in Acts chapter 11, and that the mid-Acts position is where you need to be, yet and still, look at this, in Acts chapter 10. Now, 10's after 9, all right? In Acts chapter 10, you have in verse 28, he said unto them, Peter talking, Peter stood up in verse 26, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Here's Pete in Acts chapter 10. Saying it's unlawful to go to a Jew. Question. What's the Great Commission of Matthew 28:19 about? In Matthew 28:19, they're to go to all nations.
Yeah.
And baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I understand Peter had a special revelation here in Acts chapter 10. He saw the sheet let down three times and he doubted even so. But why would Peter even raise the issue that it's unlawful to go to a Jew? Since the Great Commission says, go to all nations. You're in Acts 9. You're in Acts 10, verse 28. And Peter says, no, it's unlawful. It's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew, I'm sorry, to keep company with Gentiles. So he's saying that that law is still in effect, isn't he? Why would he say that? I know why he says it in the face of the Jewish religion. I know why he says it in the face of all the Bible that starts in Exodus chapter 19 and works its way forward. That's easy. But after the Great Commission is given in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, why would he continue to say it? Why would it continue to be a fact? Good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure it is. First-rate question. How about some first-rate answers? Brother Williams.
In chapter 11, verse 19, it says, they which were scattered abroad, by persecution, rose to speed, and found as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews.
None but the Jews only. So in Matthew 28, verse 19, is not go to Gentiles?
Well, let's go back and look at Matthew 28:19. And what do you do with Mark 16, every creature? Yeah, I got more questions. We're going to have to... In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and teach. It doesn't say Jews in all nations. Rick. All right, so they're to start with the Jews in Jerusalem. Okay, that's a fact. And you know from Zechariah chapter 12, it's Judah first, and Judah's at Jerusalem. So that fits a prophetic program, but it's even easier. Okay, you had to proselyte into it, but still he's talking to people in nations. And Paul and Pete's saying, sounds like he's saying in Acts 10:28, don't even talk to those guys. Go not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sounds like he's still operating under Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Doesn't it? Jews only. Jews only. And so he's being consistent with what he'd been told in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Lord came along and said something sounds very different in Matthew 28:19, to go to all nations, not just Jews. And in Mark chapter 16, he says go to every critter. He doesn't say critter, but you know. Every creature. Brother David. Nobody's wrong so far, but nobody's taken the easy, simple approach yet either.
What's going on in the Great Commission is he's giving them information that he wants them to do in the future.
Bingo.
Certain conditions are fulfilled. Acts 10 is after Acts 8, and it's a guarantee at that point in time that those conditions haven't been fulfilled, he's not going to do the Great Commission.
And the key to it is in Matthew 28, in verse 18. When the Lord comes back with all power, then that's the kingdom commission. When he's here, ruling and reigning, that's the kingdom commission. The Matthew 28:19 is a message that belongs to the Jews to be the conduit of blessing to all the nations in the kingdom. Just as certainly as Mark 16 is the message to the Jews in a tribulation context, and that commission of being able to drink any deadly thing refers directly to the book of Revelation when the waters go bad. That commission of being able to speak in tongues so that you don't have to spend a lot of time, you know, proselytizing people. You can talk to them instantly. Deals with a short period of time going on. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, Pete's been looking around, and he's seen that this hasn't happened. He's been told, it's not for you to know when the kingdom starts. So Pete's not sure. He doesn't know. He's still operating under the Jewish program till he knows. The Jews are still in Jerusalem in Acts 8:1. Well, what were they supposed to do according to Matthew 28:19? They're supposed to fan out and go everywhere. They didn't do it. Why? They hadn't seen the Lord come back with power. They're just still a lot of things up for grabs here, a lot of things that weren't clear. And so Peter and the Jews, they're still zealous of the law. And you'll understand the Great Commission's much better.
If you recognize the Matthew 28 one as a kingdom commission, the Mark one as the Daniel 70th week commission, if you'll notice the apostolic commission in Matthew chapter 10, there's seven commissions. And yours is 2 Corinthians 5, 12, and 13.
Amen.
Your ambassadorship function. But the simplest answer for the thing is that Peter knew that all power would be vested in the Lord. He'd be with them until the end. Pete's looking around, the Lord ain't with them. Pete's looking around, he doesn't have all power. You read Acts 2 and think, boy, 3,000 people joined the church. That's tremendous. Well, that means about a million didn't.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
So it wasn't every member Saturday for them. So in the scope of a couple of million Jews didn't accept him, and how many millions of Gentiles would have been alive at that time didn't accept him, 3,000's a flop.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't mean to demean it. But what I'm trying to say is we look at 3,000 and we think, boy, fit them all in here and we'd be packed out. And boy, wouldn't that be great? It must be the greatest thing that ever happened. But that's, on a world view, 3,000 is not a lot. And so 3,000 were added to the church. There were some there already. Peter's looking at this situation. Well, the Lord's not here. I just had two people buying a church service because they weren't doing right. They're still in Jerusalem, for crying out loud. We had to get kicked out of Jerusalem. And who got them out of Jerusalem? Persecution. Well, does persecution come from good guys or bad guys? So there's a lot of bad guys out there. So they don't have all power yet. So Peter's looking at the prophetic program and saying, this ain't it yet. Something's missing here. And so he sees a sheet let down three times. I mean, Peter's got a hard head, and that's not bad, because he's not easily shaken. He's not blown about by everyone in the doctrine. But I have the utmost sympathy for Pete in this kind of a situation. Most everything he's done has been wrong up till now, not because Pete's heart was wrong, but because the dispensation keeps changing.
Yeah.
Imagine, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you specific instructions. It's in Luke. Somebody help me. I think one of them is Luke 6 and one of them is Luke 22. You know what I'm going for? Yeah. Well, the one in Luke 22 is Luke 22:35, so can we go back from that one? Luke 22:35, what's my cross-reference?
Luke 10:4.
Is that it? No. Well, that'll work. That's not the one I was after, but that'll work. What is it? No. You get enough of it. Maybe it's 932? 9-3. That sounds better. There it is. Here's instructions. Go preach the kingdom. Verse 2. Heal the sick people. Verse 2. And here's what you do. No money, no staves, no scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats. So he does it. In Luke chapter 22, verse 35, he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? They said nothing. Then he said unto them, underline it, but now. Things have changed in the Lord's ministry. He's not headed for a kingdom now. He's headed for a cross. As Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ says, from that time forward began he to teach
about the death, burial, and resurrection, Matthew chapter 6. That tells you in the first 15 chapters he hadn't. There's a change in the Lord's ministry. And here's verse 36. Go get your purse. Go get your scrip. Go get a sword. If you don't have a sword, sell your clothes and buy a sword. So Pete gets a sword. What do you do with a sword? You lop people's heads off. And I'm convinced that's what Peter was attempting to do. And all he got was an ear because he's a fisherman, not a swordsman.
Right.
He goes, whack, I missed him. You know, and all he got was an ear. And the Lord rebukes him and picks up his ears, puts it back on his head and heals him. But Lord, he told me to go get a sword. So Peter's totally confused. By the time Peter's sitting by the fire, I can fully understand why he is, because there's dispensational changes going on, and Peter's the last guy to know because he's got the keys to the kingdom and he has the message that's going to continue in the apostolic period to the Gentile, or to the Jews, to the nation. So Pete is very careful about these matters, and in Acts chapter 10, when the sheet's let down three times, and it is, and he sees that God is calling clean that which had been called unclean, and it is, Peter went away doubting. Now, if God shows you through something three times, I hope you don't go away doubting. I hope you believe him the first time. If it's in his Bible, I hope you believe him right off. But Peter had a mind to make certain that he was absolutely right. And so that's why somebody talks in tongues in Acts chapter 10, so that Peter becomes a believer. Peter's the unbelieving Jew in Acts chapter 10. So, zealous of the law, Jews only. You can't miss that. In Pete's ministry in the early part of the book of Acts. And it's important that you don't miss that. Because the church, the body of Christ, wants you to believe that Christianity began somewhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or at the very latest, Acts 2. And if you buy into that, you're going to miss the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul.
Right.
And you're going to have Peter and Paul saying the same thing, because both of them don't say anything, because they do contradict each other. And if they say the same thing, you've lied twice.
Amen.
I've had a person tell me, well, you know, they say the same thing. I love to have fellows explain to me Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 20 and 21. You know, tell me what that means. If that's water baptism, so I can join the Baptist church, what's going on in 19, 20, and 21 Acts chapter 3? Why does somebody have to repent that his sins may be blotted out? And why does he have to wait for the Lord to come back to have that happen? And what's all this being prophesied and everybody knew about this when I'm told that the gospel is a mystery? I mean, explain that to me. I got time. And, you know, it's those kind of hang them out to dry territory. Well, in in Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, one of the rougher chapters you need to be equipped to handle. Acts chapter 19. I'm not going to deal with John's converts, and I'm not going to deal with the issue of baptism. Hopefully we've dealt with that enough. You have that in tow. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now here's the Apostle Paul with a prayer cloth, a la Oral Roberts. Here's the Apostle Paul, so that from his body, whose? Paul's, were brought unto the sick hankies and aprons. Why did Paul cure people with hankies and aprons when in 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, he says, take a little wine for thy stomach's ache and thine oft infirmities?
when at the end of Paul's ministry he says, only Luke is with me, and I remind you of Luke's vocation, he was a doctor.
Right.
Why is Paul healing with miraculous signs and wonders in Acts chapter 19, which is way after 9 to 13, why is that going on when this same apostle tells people in his later epistles that they ought to go to a doctor? Jesus Christ himself said the sick have need of a physician. Why in Acts chapter 19? I tell you that I'm Pauline in doctrine. I tell you that these people that are selling their prayer cloths and their hankies and lay your hand on the radio for a point of contact and all of that kind of stuff, I'm telling you they're charlatans. I'm telling you, if they were honest people, they'd show up at Children's Medical Center without the cameras and without the offering plates. Amen? They'd have a nursing home ministry and empty those joints out, or at least give those people some rest and comfort. Amen? I mean, if it was an honest ministry and you could really lay hands on somebody or do something with a hanky and heal people, could you sleep nights? I couldn't. I mean, I'd be just going from hospital to hospital to you know, I'd put ER off the TV set. I'd just, nobody be in the emergency rooms. I'd just heal everybody. So would you. I mean, if you're conscientious about it.
Sure.
David Nunn, it's Healing Friday. If you do it, brother, you ought to do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, too.
Amen.
You know, he only heals on Friday. He must be his union. But do you see the dichotomy here? You see the question here? And why is this going on? Why is this going on in Acts chapter 19? Curious, isn't it? You know why I raise these kinds of questions? You know why we do this every once in a while? Gets you thinking. And I'm no smarter than anybody in the room, but I've gone down some roads maybe you haven't yet. And I know some of the questions that will come up and people will throw at you. And so I'm just trying to raise them and encourage you about them, so that you're equipped for the work of the ministry. So that the first time you hear this, it won't be by some apostolic fellow that just blows you right out of the Bible, because you can't handle it. This is what I mean about learning the principles of right division is not as simple as drawing a chart and saying Romans to Philemon. There are ramifications to verses you haven't even thought about yet that I promise you the devil knows where they are. And so there's this ripple effect. And that's why such a thing as grace school in the Bible is beneficial. That's why attending here regularly, I think, helps folks. I honestly do. If I didn't, I'd quit. What's the answer? Brother Bob.
In Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul said he speaks to the Gentiles, but he had called the Gentiles and magnified the gospel. And of course, in St. James 12:12, the two beside the apostles brought him under all patient times and orders. His apostleship had to be established, and it was established by the time he was born.
All right, so the marks of an apostle, the signs of an apostle, did involve miracle signs and wonders. You also have the truth of the matter in Romans chapter 11. And my, that's a key chapter for understanding. But in Romans chapter 11, notice verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Notice in verse 12, the word diminishing of them. You and I would like to do like the system of belief I came out of and just draw a line, just hack the Bible right there in Acts 2 and say everything after Acts 2 starts the church, the body of Christ. But God didn't operate it that way. The nation diminishes. But the ministry to the nation continues as long as there is a nation, as long as things are still going on. And you know from Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, that there's still people going out to Jews. Gospel circumcision, gospel of the uncircumcision. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, 17, did Peter have the power to bind and loose?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What did Peter agree to in Acts chapter 15? What did Peter agree to and shake hands on and bind and loose in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8? If Peter had the power to bind and loose, and he did, he bound and loosed that he'd go one way and Paul go another.
That's right.
And there'd be two different messages going on simultaneously. Now, I don't know that we need Peter to bind and loose that. But the fact is, Peter agreed to it, didn't he? He shook hands and gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship.
Right.
When Peter did that, you know what? He violated the Great Commission.
Yeah.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Now, in Paul's early ministry, Paul goes to the Jew first. Who's the book of Romans written to? Well, it's called Romans. But who's the target audience? How do you know it? Try 2:17.
I know the book's called Romans, and I understand the venue, and I understand the doctrine that's in it. But what's that verse say? Thou art called a Jew. Well, why would you call him that if he wasn't one? It's being addressed to Jewish folks.
There's a lot of information in the book of Romans that you and I benefit from greatly, don't we? It's hard to miss, however, some of these Jewish aspects in Romans 3:1. What advantage hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Answer? Much. It's still profitable in Romans 3. That's interesting, isn't it? Acts 26. Now, I believe this. You don't have. You can be wrong if you want to. You don't have to believe this. And I really credit Brother Moore with helping me with this. Because when this verse came roaring into me, it was like a freight train, and I couldn't miss the light on the front. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is recounting his salvation experience. So he's talking about Acts 9. And he says in verse 15, Jesus says, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise, talking to Paul, and stand upon thy feet, talking to Paul, for I have appeared unto thee, Paul, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, understand it, both. Two ministries, two witnesses, both. Of these things, here's the first one, which thou hast seen. What did Paul see in Acts chapter 9? He's seen the apostolic ministry, tongues, signs, and wonders. He's seen Jew first. The beginning of Paul's ministry, he's baptizing. He's circumcising. I talk in tongues more than you all. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hankies. Prayer clause. Signs and wonders. Aimed at a Jewish people. Notice in that verse 16, a witness both, here's the first class of information, the things which thou hast seen. Here's the second class of information, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. That tells you he met with him after Acts 9. You see him meet with him in a temple in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 22. Just before Acts 22, he's in Corinth baptizing people. Just after Acts 22, he's writing to those same people saying, I'm sorry, I baptized you guys. He had a meeting, and the Lord had given him some more information. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That ought to jump out at you that Christ did send the 11 to baptize. So obviously Paul's ministry is different in that Christ sent him not to baptize.
So somebody says, well, Paul talked in tongues, and Paul healed, and Paul did this, and Paul did that. Yes, he did. There's absolutely no question about that. And just as certainly as you've already seen tonight, a change in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is saying the opposite of what he said earlier. You see a progression in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so it's not enough just to rightly divide the word of truth. I mean, you have to be a workman and need it not to be ashamed. When Paul is in his later ministry, and now I magnify my office. Now he's had three declarations. I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm going to the Gentiles. Acts 28:28, forget Jews. I'm going to Gentiles. From his later letters written after the Acts 28 period, you don't see tongues, you don't see signs, you don't see wonders, you don't see healings, you don't see prayer clause. And when he equips Timothy and Titus,
we don't enjoy that. But as your ambassadors, you are equipping us to be faithful to the task. We know we're not up to it, but we know that Christ in us is. So help us, Lord, submit to him in the details of our life and in our daily walk. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Remember each other in prayer. Remember to be here Wednesday. Bring